I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, we're back with another episode of Real Wives in Radio. I'm Tanya.
I'm Dorothy.
And yes, we're still recording this out of Dorothy's house.
Yes.
With baby Buck right next to us.
Out the kitchen. Hey baby.
Oh, he's so cute. I love how he talks to you. He's such a good baby. You're so lucky.
Thank you. I love it.
And he does talk so much. How old is he?
He is 2.5 months. He'll be actually 3 months at the end of, on Halloween, he'll be 3 months.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
He's so cute.
But he does love to talk.
He does love to talk. And so do we. that's why we're here. So what we're going to talk about in this episode, we'll get to that in just a few minutes, is breast cancer awareness.
Yep.
It's October and it's breast cancer awareness month. Everybody knows that. And if you don't know that, now you do.
Right.
And we couldn't not touch on this topic.
Of course.
There's just no way.
So many women and family and even the small percentage of men are affected by breast cancer or who have survived it. So of course we want to talk about it and highlight it and talk to a survivor.
Yes. Talk to a survivor. We're going to hear her story.
Okay.
And it's a really good one.
And she's a fantastic person. Cinnamon.
We know her from, which you'll find out in a little bit. We know her from a couple of different things, very intimate things, I should say. Yes. But yeah, we're going to be talking to her in just a few minutes. But before we do, let's get caught up with our baby pregnancy weekend. Yes. I just feel like that's our lives now.
I know, it totally is. Well, I mean, I have a little baby and you're about to have a little baby.
Yeah.
So, of course, that's all that we have been dealing with, have been surrounding ourselves
mostly. Yes. I don't want to say all, but yes, mostly. So how was your weekend? What's new? Give us a baby Buck update.
Little baby Buck update is he is just still good, still chilling, still hanging out. And he had his first Sunday fun day.
Oh, what is a 2.5 month old Sunday fun day consist of?
We walked up the street to Kairoa Brewing in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Oh, I've been wanting to go there.
Yeah, it's super nice in there. Yeah, yeah. And Steven wanted to watch. He's a Miami Dolphins fan now. And because he used to be a huge Raiders fan. I know you hate sports. That's why I said he's a Miami Dolphins fan now.
Got it.
I won't bore you with the details.
Got it.
But he wanted to catch the game because it's not on regular TV because they suck really bad. So we walked up to the brewery hoping that they would be playing it, and they have like brunch and stuff there. So
okay, just for those people who do want to know, why is he a Miami Dolphins fan now? Because I don't want to. I know that we have a lot of listeners, sister wives who are fans of football. So let's go ahead and explain.
Because the Raiders have sucked for so long, and the last straw for Steven being a Raiders fan, he was a Raiders fan growing up his whole life, is the fact that they were moving to Las Vegas, much like how the Chargers moved to LA and I stopped being a fan. Steven is doing the same thing with the Raiders.
He said,
that's the last straw. He cannot ride for the Raiders anymore.
It was an easy out for him.
It was. He's been wanting to jump ship for a while, so.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good story.
So we had our first Sunday fun day, and then we're Zoom members.
So I saw that.
We've been going actually quite a bit since we got the passes. We've gone 4 times already.
Oh, look at you. Hi, said baby. Zoo, and he got excited.
Yeah.
He's already such a fan. I love that you guys got passes. I've been wanting to get passes for years just because we live here.
Yes.
You and I, our neighborhoods, were like 10 minutes away from the zoo.
It's a quick drive.
And it's such good walking. Yeah, like you get so many steps there.
So that's why I wanted to get it. We were members before, but you know, it'd been like a couple years and they keep sending you like, come back and you get 15% off your membership or whatever it is. And since having the baby, I was like, I just want to get it. So on my days off, when we're just sitting at home, I can just take the baby and go walk and get exercise. Yeah. And he can go see animals and he loves it.
And you can see animals.
Exactly. I know.
Oh, I love that. Very cool.
Yeah. And how was your weekend, Tons?
My weekend was busy. It was my sister-in-law's, my soon-to-be sister-in-law's bridal shower. Mm-hmm. So my little brother Oscar is getting married 7 days before my due date.
Which is crazy because I'm not freaking out. The baby.
Yeah. No.
At the wedding.
No, I'm not. I'm going to have the baby after the wedding.
Okay.
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 I'm putting that out there. And anyone who's listening, Sister Wives, please help your sister out and put those vibes out there. I actually want her born in January.
Oh, okay. Why?
Her birthday is just her birthday. Her due date is December 29th.
Okay.
But I just feel like it's right. It's in the busiest week of the year, I feel. Yeah, my totally. Brother's getting married, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, like,
yeah,
let's just get our January 1st, January 2nd, January 3rd. Okay. I don't care. Okay. My original due date was January 6th, so let's just say that it's gonna be late. She's gonna be late.
Okay, we'll put it out there. Marina, stay inside, baby girl.
Yes. But come when you're ready. Okay. Anyway, so my little brother's getting married. So we threw my sister-in-law a bridal shower. Mm-hmm. It was very sweet and just adorable and a good time. So we did that. I think I overdid it with my body.
Oh, like you were just walking too much or what? Just on your feet too long?
I think I was on my feet too long, mm-hmm, with no breaks. Mm-hmm. And
you gotta
I'm
be careful.
Pretty active, yeah, like every day. Like I go to work, I'll go to the gym, but then like I do have breaks like in between, and I'll make sure to sit down and I'll eat or whatever. And I think I just kind of forgot, you know, when you're just like busy, go.
And you were like hosting it with your mom.
Yeah, exactly. And her mom, yeah, definitely was the one that like threw it for her. We just had it at my mom's house. So I was just helping out a lot. And I think I haven't learned my limit this far in my pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd been on my feet from like 11:30 to like 5. And
oh my gosh, that's a full day, Tons.
Yeah. And I was wearing heels.
Sis.
I know. But I was feeling like a pain. It was like small at first, and then it kept growing, kept getting bigger, and it wouldn't leave.
A pain
and
where?
Leave. It was like, okay, you know when you go running and you're not breathing right and you get a side cramp? Uh-huh. You know those kind,
uh-huh,
of cramps?
Uh-huh.
So it felt like that, but my like lower left part of my vagina.
Oh, my God. You poor thing.
I know. So
you probably never felt that before, huh?
No, it was like, it was just a little bit at first. Yeah. And I was like uncomfortable.
So was it like numb or was it just like a tight?
No, it was like tight and achy.
Oh, God.
And to the point where like,
did you think something was wrong?
It just kept getting worse. And then I was like, eventually like hunched over, putting pressure, like touching my vag pretty much. Like,
oh my God.
I know. I even caught like a lady like staring at me for a while. I was like, oh my God, it's so embarrassing. And I was just like, but they knew I was pregnant, but, yeah. I was like, I'm okay. I swear I'm okay. And finally I was like, I just need to sit down. Like I can't get up anymore. Like,
yeah.
I good. Just need to sit down. So I finally sat down. And after I sat down for like a good 30, 45 minutes, I felt fine. Like the pain went away.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that was just like pressure, yeah, for you sure. know? Like I think it's just her, you mm-hmm. know?
Mm-hmm.
So
she's saying, Mom, sit the F down.
Right? I know. But that was just a little piece of yeah. Saturday. The bridal shower was beautiful. And my brother showed up with flowers.
I saw that.
Yeah, so sweet. It was very cute. So that was it, really. And then yeah. And then Sunday, because I had felt that pain and I was so tired, I was like, I'm not doing a goddamn thing. Yes, Mom, yeah. I said it. Okay, I think I deserved it. Okay. I did not do a damn thing. I literally, this is disgusting. Actually, we FaceTimed
on
Sunday.
Yeah, we did.
I had this big oversized t-shirt, like pajamas.
We all do.
Right.
Yeah.
Wore that all day long. I didn't take a shower on Sunday. I barely brushed my
Pochina.
Teeth. I know. I barely brushed my teeth. I ate whatever. I ate pasta. I ate lasagna at 10:30 in the morning.
Yes, yes.
I ate a burrito that day. I mean, I...
Good.
It was just like a I don't give up kind
good.
Of day.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it was a great day.
You deserve that.
And then I felt great. Yeah. I felt great on a Monday. And I'm like, okay. So this week has not been like as crazy as my like last 2 weeks have been, if you heard last week's podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm good. I'm good today. And I'm good. I was good yesterday and I'm just good. So I'm happy to be good.
Maybe you need one of those Sundays like every Sunday until you have the baby.
I don't know. I guess so, right? This is third trimester. Yeah. Like, make sure I eat. Make yeah. sure I
just
relax.
Have a day. Exactly. Just a day of doing nothing because your body needs it.
body and my mind need that.
Okay,
never mind. We got a message on our Real Wives in Radio Instagram. Mrs. Risueño messaged us, a sister wife. She said, I just listened to your podcast. Tanya, yes, no more researching. The more you worry or plan, the more things won't go the way you want. Sometimes you just have to relax and let it all work out the way God has planned. I had no birth plan, at least didn't request anything specific. I just went with the flow because I didn't want to stress. And honestly, I am so thankful for having my son naturally and with no complications. Take it easy, Tanya. Heart emoji.
Yes, see?
I know.
Take it easy.
I will say that I've backed off from the reading.
Good. Yeah. Because whatever's going to happen is going to happen anyways.
I know.
You know?
I know. It's not that I'm not going to, like, because there's still things that need to be done and research and stuff that I need to know beforehand. I just think I need to limit it because.
You're driving yourself crazy.
I think I can.
You're giving yourself anxiety.
I can only do so much at this point. You know what I mean? Because the rest I'm going to learn when she's here.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. Just chill with it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Oh, by the way, I totally failed. I told you I was going to make you that grilled cheese sandwich that I made on Saturday or Sunday morning.
Girl, we're here right now. There's a kitchen right here, right now. Where's that at?
I made the bombest. It was the best grilled cheese of my life, Tanya. Of my life.
Okay, why are you telling me this? Because, first of all, you had met... Okay, no, let me tell you. This is, like, the worst, actually. If you don't follow Dorothy on Instagram, good. Because you missed this entire thing, okay? Dorothy posted one night, she said, in just a text, on the story, on your Instagram story, it just said, I just made the best grilled cheese video coming soon, something like that.
Yes,
right.
Yeah, recipe, so, video coming soon.
Okay, so here I am, 30 weeks pregnant, read that and I'm like, damn, it was probably good. I can't wait for this video. Already like mad that I don't even have this grilled cheese. Next day you post a video of you slicing this grilled cheese with the caption, listen to that crunch.
But it was crunch.
It was crunch. Listen to that crunch. So I am watching the video and it's silent. So I'm like, oh God, Tanya, you messed that one up for yourself. Turn your sound on, you silly girl. So I turn the sound on. But then I realized, oh, it is on. Oh, look, turn the volume up, Tanya. Come on. Yeah. Don't be stupid. Play the video again. Silence. And I'm like, what is happening here? I need to restart it. It's acting up. Before I do that, it goes to your next story. And there you are. Look at this. It's so good. All loud because my volume is clearly all the way up.
JJ's probably seriously. What are you watching?
Yeah. And I'm like, wait a second. So I tap back to the backstory, to the last story. And then there again, silence. When you're telling me to listen to that crunch, I'm like, this bitch posted a video, instructed us to listen to it, and she posted it without sound.
Which I didn't do on purpose. I didn't do on purpose. I swear.
That story was up for 8 minutes. And I said, I messaged you right away. I was like, nah. I got it. This is a FaceTime call.
Yeah.
It was the angriest FaceTime call I've ever made.
Like, why? It's 10 o'clock in the morning. Why is she so mad at me right now? What did I do? And then I realized what I did.
Yeah. JJ was like, you were so loud. I was in the other room. I heard the whole thing. I was like, well, you didn't hear the crunch. I know that for a fact because there was nothing there. So anyway, so all I'm saying is you teased me with telling me there was going to be a video. You posted the video with no sound. It made me very hangry at 10:30 in the morning.
I know. I'm sorry.
Then you finally posted it and that shit looked good. And then you told me you were going to make me one. And then here I am. And there is not a grilled cheese in front of me.
I know. I'm sorry. I messed up. Bad friend. Bad friends.
That's all right. You're a good mom. So but that's why you got mom things going on.
I promise you.
I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want to talk about it.
It's
I don't
the best
want to think about
cheese
it.
Ever. And it was so easy to make.
What was so good about it? I mean, it looked great. Trust me. But come on. Just tell me what's the secret.
The crunchiness of it together, like just the ratio of the crunch to the, like, it was, I made it on sourdough bread, and then I used four different types of cheeses.
I shredded
the cheese, you know, so I sprinkled it.
Why does that make a difference?
It just did. Shout out to the cheese girl at the Ralphson Hillcrest, because I went in there and I told her I wanted to make a grilled cheese sandwich, and you know how they have that, the fancy cheese.
Yeah, they got a good cheese set up
they
there.
They do, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, so yeah. She, I said, you know, I want to make a grilled cheese sandwich. Like, what cheeses would you recommend? And she walks out from behind the counter, and I was like, well, where the F is she going? Like, I just asked her, just tell me what cheese is. Right. Sis, she was so serious. She was like, oh, you're going to want this cheese right here. This one's called the holy cheese. It's kind of like a Swiss cheese, but it's so delicious. Trust me. Okay. And then you're going to want to use this white cheddar. Okay. White cheddar.
Okay.
And then I told her I was looking for some sharp cheese. She gave it to me because some was on sale. And then Steven had requested that French cheese, the Gruyere.
Who knows? I know what you're talking about.
You know.
Yeah.
So she just was on point. She knew everything about her grilled cheeses, you know?
Damn, you went to a pro.
I did. So shout out to the girl at Ralph's. I didn't catch her name. I wish I should have.
Damn.
She did not steer me wrong. Okay. And I know some people do like mayo on the on their grilled cheese.
Yeah, I heard that's a secret.
No. Scratch the mayo. They say mayo because it doesn't burn, but what you do, which I learned from the chef show, in your pan, when you get it hot, you put olive oil down first, right? Like if you're going to saute something.
Just put
some olive oil down. Use salted butter to butter your sourdough bread on one side.
Okay.
So once your pan is warm, put the butter down. Put the slices down. And then you start to layer your cheese. So I did sharp cheese first, and then I did the white cheeses, and I ended with the French cheese. And then you sandwich it on top, but you got to do it over medium heat, because if you do it too high, it's gonna burn. Medium heat, let it just toast, let it ride, cook it for about 4 minutes, and you are done. You got to make sure you flip it on the other side, so the other
you know
side
what
is
I'm
toasted
done
too.
With you right now. Why are we talking about this? You literally are making my mouth. I couldn't even say the word literally right now because there's so much slobber and babas in my mouth right now because
it's so bob.
Okay, good.
You don't
That's
need anything
good
else
for
either.
You.
I know.
Good for you. Good for you.
I just melted together so.
Don't
good.
You know I am a starving 30-week pregnant woman?
I know. You know what? Let me see. I think I might have two slices of bread. I could make you one right now.
Can we stop? Okay. You know what? Let's get to the real reason why we're here.
Yes. Yes. Actually, yes.
Besides the grilled cheese.
Yes.
Let's get to this interview. We promised that we were going to talk about it. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And we wanted to highlight the story of our dear friend Cinnamon. So I had the chance of talking to her and having a phone conversation with her. And she will tell us exactly what her story is from beginning to present. And I think it's a really good one. So make your grilled cheese and take a listen.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right. So we have a wonderful guest with us, friend, badass woman. Her name is Cinnamon, and she is joining us right now. Hi, Cinnamon.
Hi. Oh, you flatter me with all your kindness and badassery.
I could say so much more, and I will say so much more. But Cinnamon, she is... she is responsible for my nude pictures.
Oh, that's
see
you naked. Woo! Yay, naked Tanya.
Yeah, naked Tanya, naked Dorothy. Okay, so if
yay, with chicken wings, yeah.
Yeah. So here's a little backstory. Cinnamon, her company is Bad Kitty Photography, her and her daughter's company. And Bad Kitty Photography is located here in San Diego. And that was a few years ago we met Cinnamon, Dorothy and I, and we met her there because when we were with AJ on AJ's Playhouse or the AJ show, he had us I think, right? Is that how it started, Cinnamon? Like, did we do a prank?
It was tap that app or something.
Oh, tap that app. How could I forget?
It was tap that app, yeah. And you lost a bet.
Yep.
And yep. She had to do the photo shoot with a bucket of chicken wings and granny panties.
That's right.
And you were so inspired by it that you decided to do it for your husband.
Just for myself. Exactly. Exactly. So it started out as a joke and, of course, the consequence on the show that Dorothy and I were on with AJ. But it ended up being the best thing that I know I could speak for Dorothy, too, that we've ever done to show our bodies and feel good about it. And I'm so glad that Cinnamon, you were our photographer that day too, because you are the best at hyping up any woman, any size, any shape. Like, you truly make us feel like we are the hottest thing on this planet. And I did absolutely feel that. So thank you for that.
Because yeah. I believe in it 100%.
I know you do.
I'm a cheerleader. I like being a cheerleader.
And that's why we love you. And that's why we've kept in touch with you, because there's no way we could not have you in our lives. And this episode is all about breast cancer awareness. And because it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And we, Dorothy and I, were thinking, who do we want to talk to tell us their story in the most real way, because if anything, this podcast is all about being real. And we both thought of you, Cinnamon.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a really, you know, everyone goes through their own personal experience when they first get diagnosed.
Right.
And, you know, for me, it was always about kind of seeing the lighter side to it, as strange as that may sound.
Okay.
For me, you know, it was something that was in my family line. My grandmother passed from this after battling it, going through chemo and radiation, mastectomies, and kind of watching, you know, her struggle and her journey, which ultimately cost her her life. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to have that same experience. So for me, it was like going to my doctors and saying at age, you know, 32, I want a breast exam. I want a mammogram. And they're like, no, no, no. And I was like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, my grandmother dying of it wasn't a close enough line for them. So I lied. And I said that my maternal side is riddled with it. And they're like, oh, well, then you have a stronger history. We'll definitely see you. So for me, I didn't have a problem lying about imaginary aunties that had breast cancer if it was going to get me seen.
Yeah. Well,
and
Yeah.
So for the first three years, I went religiously and it was all good. And then I was diagnosed with precancerous cells.
Okay.
And that's when they were like, oh, and I was, I believe, 36 or 37 when that happened. And, you know, they did biopsies. They basically just did a lumpectomy. They took that chunk of tissue out and it left a simple scar. It was pretty outpatient, you know, and they want to stay on top of it, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now, fast forward a few years, it finally came back that one day where they said, yes.
Mm.
You have breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I went in, the person that did my results readings, I forget what that person is, the person that actually looks at the film, and basically said, you know, we're going to do some testing on it, but just from my experience in looking at these cells, you're in the beginning stages of breast cancer. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
And so that was an intense day, because that was the first time I was like, oh, well, shit.
Yeah.
What do we do? Where do we go? And my husband was with me in the office, and, you know, they're going to send it out for testing and they're going to give me a call. And that was kind of a stressful week,
of course.
Just kind of waiting for the results and kind of, you know, what happens if and who what, and you don't sleep and you stop eating really good that week, you know, your stomach hurts. And then I was at work. Actually, I just finished a photo shoot, and I got the phone call and she said, you know, we'd like you to come down to the office. And I was like, I really need you to just tell me right now over the phone, because if I have to drive my car like this, I'm going to crash it.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, she asked me if I had a friend, if I was by myself. And I was like, I have my friend, lovely Stacy. You know Stacy.
Mm-hmm,
and,
I do.
Yes. And I was actually, believe it or not, I was sitting on the dungeon set with that swing that we did that video in.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And I got the news. Ugh. And I just sat down and started crying. That was it. And I talked to Stacy and, you know, kind of let it all out. Now,
my husband was up for a really big promotion during that time. And I didn't, and it was like, he had to go to this big interview. So I didn't want to say anything to him before he had to go do that. So I sat on this news for about 5 or 6 days. And it just kind of ate my soul. But what it also forced me to do is to kind of go, okay, what am I going to do? What's the next plan? I'm talking to doctors. I'm talking to all these people. And then, I don't know, a part of me was just like, okay, this is the beginning stage. This is why you've been getting mammograms. This is why you've been so persistent with doctors.
Right.
This is exactly the reason.
Right.
And, you know, once I talked to my doctor, you know, because I had the lumpectomy before, because my grandmother, because of some other parts of my family history, they're like, listen, you can do chemo, you can do radiation to keep your boobs. And I looked at him and went, I'd rather not. They're not that important to me.
Wow.
So my choice was to go with a double mastectomy because I watched my grandma try to fight to save the boobs that she had. Whereas I was like, the ones that I currently have right now or have implants in them, how bad could it be? You know, I'm like, I already got fake boobies. I'm just going to get smaller fake boobies after this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did opt not to get the surgery for a long time for reconstruction, but that was for totally different reasons. So anyway, long and the short, my experience was, if I have to go through this, and I know I've caught this so early that it's not going to kill me. It is not going to kill me. I knew that. It was so early.
Right.
So early that I almost had the luxury of being optimistic. But I wanted to take that and work with other people who were not as lucky to get their diagnosis that early, who did not have the option of not having chemo, who did not have the option of optimism. So, you know, I had a big party right before I had my double mastectomy, and I opened it up to the entire city of San Diego, and everyone came down and wore their favorite lipstick, and they kissed my boobs goodbye.
That's right.
And we made a big event out of it. We had cake, and we drank lots of champagne. And then, you know, I went away. I took a boobie mastectomy little pre-vacation because I knew I was going to be kind of jacked up afterwards.
Right.
And, you know, when I came back and I had it done, that's where all of the real challenges for me started, was after the surgery. Mm-hmm. That was probably the harder part for me. It was, the diagnosis was awful. The process of what I knew I had to do is not something I was like, yay, fantastic, this is exactly what I wanted to do on
same
day.
Right.
But the struggles that I felt came after, and it was more about, like, you know, I didn't think that I was going to be affected, like my womanhood or whatever thing that I thought I did not tie my essence to, of having, okay, I'm a girl, I have boobs.
Yeah.
Whatever, big deal. Until I took the bandages off and I saw what was left.
Right. That was the first time you really felt it all come down.
Yeah, it really punched me in the soul. Oh, I'm getting kind of worked up. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. No, Cinnamon.
But that was probably the hardest part, because, you know, we all have days, right?
Yeah.
Where we wake up and we don't feel as pretty. We feel a little bit older. We feel fat. We feel stupid. We feel like we're not performing at work or at home. Or, you know, we have these menstrual moments where you just feel like, ugh, I'm so useless, whatever.
Right.
But I had never actually believed it. It was all kind of tied into the moon cycle of the menstruations kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But at my core, I always knew I was a decent, good, wonderful, beautiful human.
Yeah.
And that time I was like, whoa, you are so disfigured.
Wow.
God, it's hideous. I hate it.
Oh, Cinnamon, that is so hard for me to hear you say that and get emotional saying that, because I am not kidding when I say you are one of the most strong, don't give a fuck, you know, be proud of the person, the skin that you are in, body positive, sex positive, like always live your best life. You are that woman. You are the epitome of that. And to hear you say this and to know you felt this, it breaks my heart for you. And at the same time, I know you are, I would like to say, somewhat on the other side of that. Now,
yes, very much so.
Okay.
So I opted not to get the reconstruction in the beginning because you've seen my boobs. They were epic. They were beautiful.
They're bomb.
God, I loved them.
They were bomb.
They were some gravity-defying, upward nipple-pointing, beautiful boobies.
Yes.
And so I kind of knew, kind of like, I knew that no matter what they put in reconstruction, I wasn't going to like it.
Okay.
So for me, I had to learn. I luckily, I had the presence of mind to kind of know myself enough that I needed to learn to love this new body that I had.
Yeah.
With no boobs, with sagging skin and these weird no nipple back things, because I left the skin on there in case I decided I wanted to get the reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like looking at the proportions of my body and having to like look in the mirror, which I did avoid for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I finally got to the point where I was like, all right, well, shit, this looks good.
Yeah.
It may not be what you started with, but it's what you got. And it's time to kind of like put your money where your mouth is. You've been talking for years about how women are too hard on themselves and they need to embrace themselves and they need to, you know, my thing, I believe all of these things.
Yeah.
I believe that women are amazing and that we need to love each other and ourselves a little bit more sometimes. So once I was ready, I went in and I got my new boobs, and these, I never have to wear a bra.
Love that.
You know, I'm never going to be affected by, you know, gravity. I'm going to be a 90-year-old, you know, with these crazy little 18-year-old boobies, and I'm going to laugh about it because actually by the time I wanted to get the reconstruction, I wasn't even doing it for aesthetics because I had accepted the new person that I was.
Yeah.
It was more about having clothes that fit properly.
Okay.
About not being stared at, because like when you have your boobs removed, it's very concave, you know, you look a little bird chested afterwards. And it was more about, you know, other women would see it and they would give me this look like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, if you look at me like that one more time,
ugh,
I'm going to walk across this room.
Yeah.
I'm going to throat punch you.
Yeah.
Knock it off. You know, it's like, don't feel sorry for me.
Yeah.
And so it was about, you know, finding clothes that fit better and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, everyone's going to have a different experience. And I have always considered myself extremely lucky the way my diagnosis came in, the way I had amazing surgeons, I had amazing reconstructive doctors, you know, and my friends, you know, everyone just kind of rallied the troops, you know, kind of built that wall around me so I was insular. No one could get a hold of me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you were in a safe space.
Yeah, my family was awesome, and they cooked and they cleaned, and my dog did not leave my side the entire time. You know, so I was in really good hands. And my main advice is go and do the damn test. Women, we are constantly Instagramming these titties. You need to mammogram these titties.
Okay.
It's just as important.
Okay, this is why I love you. So for those of you that don't follow Bad Kitty Photography on Instagram, you should. But you posted a picture of your boobs with, you know, those horizontal scars. And,
yes, I did.
You know, no nipple. I'm just trying to explain what we're seeing here. And what you wrote as the caption, this is why I love you. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Remember that mammogramming your boobs is just as important as Instagramming them. And that is like, that is so real. And that is so true. And that is exactly what we need to hear, because it's a reminder, you know, what's more important? You know what I mean? Like, taking a picture of, you know, how good your titties look. Yeah, that's great. That is important. Trust me. But it's more important to go get that test. So what do you recommend, or what do you want to tell women? When do we take it? When should we go? What if we get denied? What if they tell us no? What should we do? And what age or when we feel something? I mean, even me,
yeah,
I've never been tested, so I don't know.
How old are you now?
I'm 34.
It's time. Go down there. Do that for me. Just promise me you'll do that if you're the right age. I think 35 is when they want you to do it.
Right.
But if you have a family history, just go down there. And when you talk to your doctors, okay, I look at it this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of us are paying like $300, $400 a month for health insurance for the just in case Shit Happens Fund.
Right.
You know, we keep our insurances for our pap smears, our annual physicals, and as you reach a certain age, you know, getting your testicles checked or getting your boobs checked or any of that stuff. But most of the time, our insurance just sits there waiting for something bad to happen, and that way you get covered, right?
Yeah.
But that money can also be spent if they are like, well, you're too young, you don't need it. My Aunt Gloria, even if you don't have an Aunt Gloria, your first aunt on your mother's side, not your dad's side, on your mother's side, died from breast cancer.
Bam, that'll, you know, get
you
in.
Kill off some aunties. Yeah, kill off a couple aunties
that you don't have. I love that.
That you don't
have. I love that.
You know, don't curse, you know, the ones you got.
Of course,
but, you
of
know,
course. No.
Make it up.
Yeah.
If they're not taking it serious, make up a family history, because that will get you through the door. And it is so much easier to treat cancer at stage zero. At, you know, it goes from having, you know, a lumpectomy to a stage zero, which is like, you know, the beginning form, and then stage one. When, you know, you start hitting stage two, stage three, stage four, I mean, that it gets more and more difficult to treat, to take care of yourself. I mean, like I said, for me, being tested and confirmed so early in the beginning of it, that I did not require chemotherapy. I did not have to go through radiation.
Yeah.
I wasn't sick in a clinic. I didn't lose my hair. I didn't have to have any of those experiences. I could have chosen that, but I decided that that was not my path. And whichever path you choose is your, that's your journey and your path. None of them are wrong. But it's so much easier to survive this simply by getting tested, mammogram it. It doesn't hurt that much, lady.
Okay, tell me about that, please, because I've heard, obviously, that it's the most painful thing, and then you're saying that it doesn't hurt that much. What is it? What is it? Can you, like, try to tell me what that feels like? Because I don't know.
You know, I'm going to be real frank with you.
Please.
We're all grown-ups here on this podcast.
Yes, we are.
Have you ever been so drunk that you and your man are going at it so hard, and he is just bearing his entire body weight on your titties and squeezing them and kneading them and pushing on your chest?
Oh, my
gosh.
That
hurts more.
Wait, I am so red right now. I'm so red, but only because I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, like, there is pain in that. Yes, we have.
You know?
Okay.
The mammogram, they literally, you lift your arm up, you stick it between a couple of pieces of, like, plastic, and then they go mush, 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 and then they do a little adjustment, and then they mush it one more time, and you go, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not like you can move. You just, like, hold your breath, and then they release it. That's it.
How long would you say that is, that test?
Less than 5 minutes.
Oh, shit. Why aren't we doing this, ladies? Why are we doing this?
I don't know, but I definitely had my boobs groped during rough sex longer than 5 minutes, and I managed to survive it. So I'm pretty sure you can do this.
Oh gosh, I love you so much, Cinnamon, and I'm not trying to, you know, take away the seriousness of this topic and of your story, but this is the kind of shit we need to hear, because I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. When I hear the word mammogram, or I hear that I'm gonna have to do it soon, or anything like that, I feel like my boobs are more, I feel like they're pretty tender, and I just, the pain is really like something that I dread. But really, why am I dreading that? Like, it's this, it's prevention or not. Like, Tanya, it's minutes of your life that you're going to survive, because I've survived my husband, like you said.
Right?
And
exactly.
Oh my God, you like just put everything into perspective, and I just love you so much.
Go get your boobie smushed. Just do it.
Yeah,
it's not that bad. And then it gives you peace of mind. And see, and that's another thing that I've heard, because, you know, after I kind of, you know, was working with my endocrinologist and the people over at you know, the hospital, they're like, we'd really like you to work with some people that are recently diagnosed, because you always had a really positive kind of an outlook on it. Because it's intense. I mean, there's a lot of emotions that you go through, and you just kind of ride this weird wave.
Yeah.
You know, and I work with some ladies all the way up to the day that they walked in to get their, you know, mastectomies done, and, you know, listening to them and talking to them. And, you know, this is what you need to do to prepare afterwards. Emotionally, this is where you're going to be at. And, you know, their stories are much more intense than mine, simply because I didn't wait to get tested.
Yeah.
I just took care of it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were walking around and you knew that, you know, you're like concerned about something that hurts or something on your body and you're not sure. You got this weird looking mole or this weird rash. You don't sit there and go, oh, well, it's no big deal. You go and you have it checked out. You're not afraid of what the doctors are going to say. Because people are more emboldened and they're more empowered by actual facts and knowledge than a fear. Fear is paralyzing. Fear is what keeps you from doing things, and facts are what get you motivated to go forward.
Right.
And so if you have any concerns about it, I mean, this is when you just say, you know what, F it, man. I might be scared. I might be afraid of what the outcome is, but I'd rather know than not know.
Absolutely. And if you,
you know,
I'm sure there are people out there that say they would rather not know. I know it. I know it sounds crazy, but there are some people, you know, that say they would rather of. I don't know. I don't understand that, but.
Because what you don't know won't kill you, kind of thing, until it does.
It does. You know? It will. It will absolutely. In this case.
My mom was a classic example of that. She was like, yeah, I got this dizzy feeling. It'll go away. Or, oh, I've got this, that, and then, you know, my hand is tingling. It'll go away. She was afraid to find out what was wrong. And then eventually she had a stroke and died. You know, that's what got her in the end, was her fear of knowing what was wrong. It could have probably, maybe they would have seen an aneurysm. Maybe they would have seen a clot that could have been prevented.
Something.
She was scared to death to go to the doctor. Scared to do it.
Yeah.
And but that's a real thing. So, you know, if you're scared, just get a buddy. Like if you have a friend that is just like, I'm so afraid of doing this, and you know her and you're not afraid to be a dick to her a little bit, just go ahead and drag her down. You know, make her do it if it's better for her. If you guys are cool like that, you know, if you know someone, try and, you know, go with them if they're scared.
Yeah. We all have that friend. We all know that friend, or we are that friend. So, yeah, absolutely.
You know, we all got a ride or die that's going to be there. You know, in the first, you know, couple of times that I did it, I was really nervous. You know, my husband went with me, and then it became like a routine procedure for me. So I started going on my own. You know, you just do it.
Yeah.
You just do it. Yeah, they handle you with care, and they handle you with professionalism pretty much everywhere my experience has been. And, you know, it doesn't hurt at all to go and get your boobies smushed. Just remember, you've had rougher sex than that.
I just love that so much. And now I'm going to think of you every time we have rough sex. So thank you.
You're welcome. You know what?
Oh my gosh.
Go do you.
Oh, Cinnamon, I love you so much, and I cannot thank you enough for sharing your story with us. And we could talk for days, and I probably have like so many more questions for you. And you know me, I love to know everything. But you definitely have made so many points in this conversation that we've had. And the first one that I took away was just saying that you have the luxury of being optimistic. And if ever I'm in this place, I want that luxury too. And it's just, I want that. And in order for me to have that, I need to go get tested. So
that's what I'm saying.
I know you've been saying that. I know. I just got to listen to you. I always got to listen to you.
You know what? My life would be easier if everyone just listened to me.
That's true. I actually believe that. There's only good things have come out of any type of interaction with you. So I believe that. But thank you again.
I'm really grateful. I'm extremely grateful.
And I can hear that. I can hear that in your voice. And I, you know, you post about it here and there. You're very honest and open about it. But talking, I don't think I've ever had this like talk with you about it, really, about how, what, when, where, and why. And I'm grateful for this conversation with you. So thank you.
Oh, I just love you guys. I love you so much.
Oh, well, we love you, and we hope to see you soon, because you're not in San Diego at the moment.
Not at the moment. I'm in the beautiful city of New Orleans being debaucherous. Wonderful.
And I love you for that, because honestly, you never know where Cinnamon's at. She's always somewhere in the world, but you always know she's living her best life. So that is very exciting. And I love living through your posts, and just, you're just full of life, and that's just the way it's supposed to be. So Cinnamon,
Thank
you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your knowledge, your wisdom, your words, and we love you.
We'd love you back. When I'm in San Diego, we're going to go grab a drink.
Please.
You know, tell me what your mammogram experience was like, because you'd already have it done.
Okay, got to do it.
Mm-hmm. Now you got to.
I got
it's like,
to.
Now you have to.
Right. Oh, Cinnamon, thank you again, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Ugh, I love that woman. She's amazing. That's Cinnamon from Bad Kitty Photography right here in San Diego. Both Dorothy and I have taken beautiful boudoir photos with her at Bad Kitty Photography. And if you want to follow her on social media and Bad Kitty Photography, just follow at Bad Kitty Photography on Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram. I'm Tonya Gonzalez. I am T-O-N-Y-A Gonzalez. And you can follow Dorothy on Instagram at Dorothy on Air. Hopefully she won't be posting muted grilled cheese sandwich videos anymore. And you can always follow our podcast on Instagram as well, at Real Wives in Radio, and on Facebook as well. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast on the radio.com app, where you can find other podcasts and you can listen to any of the stations that we're on here in San Diego. I'm on The Morning Show with John and Tammy on 103.7 KSON, and Dorothy is on Kixie 96.5. You can find those stations at radio.com, the app, and online. And we will talk to you next week. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.